Thanks for hopping on, guys. This is a Rowdy Alternative podcast. I'm Sam, and we're here today with Johnny Mullinax. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, dude. Been looking forward to it. So I guess we might as well just start out with what you've been up to, man. I know you said you just came back from a session, I believe. So what's been keeping you busy lately?
Oh, man. Too much shit. I just got back from a session. We're recording a new EP at Dead Format Records here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My buddy Andrew Bears helping produce it. He's a bad motherfucker. And can we curse on here?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're allowed.
All right. Cool. Yeah, he's fucking awesome. And we've just been recording a lot. I've been doing some work for some other cats. And just touring a lot as well. We're leaving for a 10-day run on Thursday.
Awesome, man. Exciting. It's a good thing to be busy, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally. Beats the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. But So getting to know your music for me and being recommended by so many other musicians, either you already are or I think you're on the way, my personal opinion, to like a musician's musician, if that makes sense. Because I literally can't tell you how many people have like been like, dude, I'll show up to a show and then they're like, thanks for coming. But and it'd be like at Tulsa shows. And they're like, well, what are you doing Sunday? Because it's the brunch, right? Yeah. The bluegrass brunch. And I could never, unfortunately, I never have been able to make it. But I'm like, damn, like they love this guy. So that's how I got introduced to you. And I kind of wanted to start there because it's a fairly unique thing. It's a really cool thing, it sounds like, to do that, to do the little bluegrass brunch. And is it weekly or was it weekly?
It is weekly, yeah. It's basically whenever we're in town. You know, we're touring so much now that it's kind of hard to, you know, this in a couple of weeks, we got a gig on Saturday in West Virginia. You know, we can't make that drive back, but
for sure,
you know, yeah. So whenever we're in town, every Sunday, baby.
Yes. So how'd that all come to be? Was it like an idea that popped in your head or did other people recommend it? How'd that all work,
man,
out?
I have played at the Mercury Lounge 1,000 times, you know, with other bands mostly. And I'm good friends with the GM up there, Ashley Kirkley. And she just came to me with the idea of like, hey, let's start a bluegrass brunch. We'll open the bar earlier. And I was like, that's not going to fucking work. And sure enough, man, it's fucking crazy there. And I think we've been doing it about 3 years. That's kind of how the whole band started was, you know, at first we were just kind of playing bluegrass for fun and, you know, had some gigs here and there. And then once we got that weekly every Sunday, you know, then we could kind of form our songs and, you know, just kind of, it's basically like a rehearsal for us. We've never had a rehearsal. We just play a shit ton of gigs. And so that's the place where we can kind of try things and figure it out, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. It kind of doubles as like your own practice too, like you just said. So yeah, that's awesome. Because Mitchell Ferguson was the one who, he was the one who told me the first time I went to an Austin Mead show and he was there. I don't even know if he played. I think he was just hanging out.
Yep.
And he told me, he's like, I went up, I said, hey. And the first thing he said was like, tomorrow, go to the Mercury Lounge.
I couldn't make it,
unfortunately. But yeah, Mitchell's great. But let's go back a bit just so people could get to know you. And when I was doing a little deep dive into your career so far, you started playing around 5.
Yeah, I played 5.
Yeah, so when I was 5, I was like pissing my pants and picking my nose. So
the same thing, man.
you could just play guitar.
Actually.
So I guess when it came to like picking up guitar at such a young age, do you think that had a lot to do being in Tulsa and being in like the Oklahoma scene and like being involved? Because it's such like a hotbed for talent and like musical talent. So like what kind of got you there to playing so early?
Man, my mom plays a lot and she played in a band. She has 11 brothers and sisters and a lot of them play. And so, it was just kind of always around and I didn't really have a choice for being honest, but I'm very, very glad. You know, I've just always been obsessed with the guitar and still am to this day, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Because this is kind of weaves into the topic, but I've been watching this NASCAR documentary on Netflix and someone on it said, like, people ask us, why is our family so intertwined with racing? And they said like, well, it's because that's all we know. And that's like what we've been, is that kind of like the deal with you or?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I've just been around music my entire life and, seen how much fun it can be. And, you know, I've just always loved it, man. And so, yeah, I started playing guitar at a really young age and all my family reunions ever, you know, that's just a big jam session. And, you know, I think as a kid, I wanted to be able to play with my family, you know, my uncles and fucking all that shit. And yeah. So that's kind of what helped motivate me to actually learn the guitar, you know?
Yeah. Right on. And it has to make it that much easier when it like your whole family's involved with it.
Yeah.
And it's not just like only you playing and you don't know anyone who plays as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. I would say that I'm very, very grateful for being raised in a musical family. And, you know, my mom played in a band all my life growing up, you know, so going to her gigs when I was a kid and watching her do it, you know, and all her friends and shit, it's just fucking fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And being kind of how I said earlier, like being in a place like in Oklahoma and with the, because you are native to Tulsa,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah, born.
Right. So especially Tulsa, because like you got, I've been there many times, venues everywhere. Just the talent there is unbelievable. Like you could go, you could take a piss and you'll hit like a show to the right and take a piss and hit one to the left.
Yeah.
And do you think like being involved in that scene, was that a big factor in like your come up and everything?
Yeah.
Compared to like other ones?
I would definitely say so. I started playing music full time when I was 18. I got my buddy, Greg Fallis. He lives here in town, badass player. I used his ID and said I was him and just went into bars and started fucking gigging, you know? And then you meet people and then they need a guitar player. And, you know, that's really what the first, I would say, 9 to 10 years of me playing out was, is mostly other people's stuff, being a side man, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And being so involved, especially with the Bluegrass Brunch and everything, with a place like the Mercury, with that being such like a prolific venue and like everyone knows the Mercury in Tulsa. And like, does that ever like come to your mind? Is that ever something like, damn, I'm like really a part of this culture here? Is it kind of like, oh, it's every day kind of thing?
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, there was a point where I was playing at Mercury like Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, and then again on Sunday. So 5 times in a week, every week. So, you know, now that I'm not playing there as much, we just play every Sunday. I am kind of starting to be like, oh shit, that's the fucking place, you know? It's not just a job anymore. It's kind of part of a bigger thing, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Being so involved in that scene, and you could even say the whole Oklahoma scene, even Texas, because like nowadays, like if you look at the artists, like it's calling it Texas country, which or red dirt country music, like that's not really accurate anymore. It's so much different. You got the rock stuff, the grungy stuff. You have like the traditional country stuff too, but it's such a melting pot.
Yeah.
So could you like really feel a change since you've been doing playing forever in that scene? Could you really feel the change over time, whether it swung more towards the rock end or back to the traditional end, or is that something that you've just been so much a part of that it just feels like it's happening?
I would say that I mean, you know, music definitely evolves and locally and regionally and all that with who's coming up and who's being cool, you know, but I would say definitely I've seen the change, but it's not like drastic, I wouldn't say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it all blends because you're right. It's not drastic and it all like works out somehow because it feels like when you look at all the different kinds of styles and sounds, you got guys like Coe Wetzel and then you got guys like, he's a lot bigger now, but Parker McCollum, you know, the big guy and like all the guys who are like working their way up. It's like, that sounds like it shouldn't work or it should be very messy, but it's not. Like, I feel like it's such a cool mixture that it all seems to equal out in the
end. Yeah, man, I would say that there are so many good artists out there right now. It's almost like a real recognized real kind of situation, you know, like if you're not cookie cutter in one genre, you know, other, I feel like people right now are very accepting of other genres and people changing their styles and stuff. You know, everybody's just along for the good time, which I think is the best case scenario.
Absolutely. And going off that to my next point I was going to make is that with your sound, when I listened to everything you got out, and it's you're like one of those guys who could pull off playing different kinds of, you have your bass sound, like the bluegrassy stuff, of course, sticks out a lot, but there's funk in there. There's, you know, you got like the regular country stuff, but the bluegrass funk, and to me, and maybe I'm just tripping, but I listened to I really picked it up in the live AF sessions. Yep. You did, and we're going to hit on that too, but I even got a bit of like it must have been like organ, I think it might have been in some of the tunes, but like prog kind of shit. Yeah. Like prog rock kind of deal. And it's like, it was so cool listening to it because you're one of those guys who you can't put in a box, and like you don't know what you're going to get, I feel like, with each release. And is that something you've always like naturally had, or is it something like you've set out to be like, all right, let's try this different thing, or is it just kind of flow out?
Man, I would say that I don't really know. I just kind of fuck around and find out, yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I've always played a lot of different styles, you know, started off playing rock as a kid and then got really, really into playing jazz guitar. You know, so okay. I think that's got a big influence as far as our sound goes. It's all kind of just a big jam session, you know, the yeah. live shows. And that's kind of the mentality of a jazz cat too, you know? So I think that and punk rock, I love that shit. And I don't know, man. I just love it all. And I just try to make music that I would want to listen to, you know?
For sure. And you mentioned jazz, and obviously jazz is like, to me, I play drums, and like, so sometimes like I don't even touch jazz because it's just so fucking hard. But like when, like on the guitar side of it, I'd imagine it's just as hard, if not harder, right?
Yeah. Well, man, you know, I would say that, and that's true, but there's only 12 notes in music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, some of those notes sound really good together and some of them don't necessarily. And jazz yeah. is finding a way to make the notes that don't necessarily sound the best sound good, you know, and right. really learning how music works together. And I think if you learn jazz, then it opens up a whole new world. You don't have to be like fucking Miles Davis and like get into the smack and the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Fucking learn it and incorporate it into your everyday playing. And I think that's a huge thing that jazz has taught me.
Yeah, man. And like jazz, like the first word that comes to mind when I think of jazz is like organized chaos.
Yes.
Like you put, like, that's all that I could think yeah. of. And when did you get into jazz? Was that something you were into back at, like when you were like playing rock growing up, or is that something new? Cause I feel like a lot of people pick up jazz like when they want to try something like something cool and new kind of deal.
Yeah, man. I went to a high school here in Tulsa that was kind of like an arts high school. Just kind of no rules and, yeah, they had a great jazz program, and I had a lot of friends in there that I still play with professionally to this day, you know, and
yeah,
we all just kind of got together and got obsessed with jazz, and we had a great teacher, and, you know, I mean, it's that kind of mentality. I don't think a lot of people on their own are like, I'm going to become a jazz player, you know, like, fucking weirdo, what the fuck, you know, like, get a life, man. But when it's with your friends, you know, everyone can kind of push each other and be like, you know what, this is kind of cool, you know, and I yeah. think that that's a big way that people get into jazz.
For sure. And this might be kind of an ignorant statement on my part, but like when you do, like when you have like your audience that you've had for whatever, however long, like years down the road, like the same audience, and when you get new listeners, get new fans, and as you change up sounds or incorporate new sounds, I should say, is it easy to like carry that audience over as an artist? And it's kind of just more like a broad question, like just for an artist in general and like being able to progress and move on to other stuff, try some other shit out. Do you find it difficult to carry the audience over? Do you even know? Like,
I mean, you know, I just, like I said, man, I just try to play what feels good, you know? But mm-hmm. at the same time, I think that, and this might sound a little cheesy, but I think if you have the opportunity to play music, which not a lot of people do in the whole world, you know, like if you have the opportunity, you kind of owe it to everyone and yourself to make shit that sounds, that's easily digestible and, you know, not off the rails fucking jazz. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If you kind of keep that in mind when you're writing and trying to combine all your influences, that's really how it resonates with everyone. You know, if you're trying to make it sound good and easy to listen to, other people will recognize that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when you approach writing, do you do it differently if you're going for like a certain sound over another? Or it seems like you're a pretty straightforward guy when it comes to like creativity. It's like whatever you like and whatever turns out good. But like, do you approach it differently at all, whether you want to do a more rock or funky tune versus a jazz versus more bluegrass centric, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never really thought about it, honestly. Like, I would say that, you know, there's some of the songs that I've written recently that kind of have like a more bluegrass, jazz, which is not two words that normally go together, influence. But I mean, as far as lyrics go, I don't know, man. Shit, you stumped me, dude.
I don't know. I tend to ramble a lot. So a lot of my questions are mumbo jumbo anyway.
No, I would say that writing, like, you can write something for yourself, which is the number one fucking thing. Because if you don't like it, other people aren't going to like it. And as far as bringing other genres into it, you kind of have to walk the line as far as, like, you know, what you're going to sing about or how the song is arranged or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And like being on the creative side and versus like a fan side, who's like a fan, just like they know their favorite artists, they know what they want to hear. And it's kind of like when on your side of it, when it comes to, say you got a release coming out, and is there, you kind of hit on it there when it's, you said you want to make something you like, is there like, is that kind of a battle you fight with yourself over, like, this is just what I want to do versus we got to think a little bit about the fans kind of thing? I feel like a lot of people might be different with that. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's a give and a take, man. If people are going to listen to your music, you got to give them something they like, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want to sell out, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, selling out, that's fucking bullshit. Like, everybody's on the same game, I think. But does that make sense?
No, yeah, it does. And it's the sellout thing that made me laugh, because as a music listener, it took me a while to like realize that, like, wait, why wouldn't we want our favorite artists to get paid or get these deals, or, you know, to progress with that aid, you know, to help them out. Like, selling out, that needs to be a banned term.
I know.
There's like other, there's better words I feel like you could use for that. Better terms.
Yes, way better.
Like,
but it, you know, at the same time, like, you know, there's levels to everything. You know? I could go and try and make some pop song that I would consider selling out, and people would be like, Johnny, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? So, I mean, everybody knows their limits, and you, not their limits, but their, what they can and can't do. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. And, being in such like a close community as the music scene that you're in, is it hard to, separate camaraderie versus like competition? Like, I know it's like a lot of people find the happy medium, but how do you navigate that?
Man, I would say in Tulsa, there is no competition.
Okay. You're totally fine. You're totally fine.
Oh my God. I got him groomed up here.
Come here, boy. Aw. Special guest.
But, sorry. What was the question?
Just like camaraderie. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, what was the question?
I was just asking, like, in a community like Tulsa, in a music scene like Tulsa, is it hard to navigate, or maybe was it earlier, like in the early years, to navigate that, like competition versus like friendships and camaraderie?
I would say that in Tulsa, there are so many badass motherfuckers that as soon as you think you're good, you're not. There's somebody that's going to come along and just fucking, you know, smoke you.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that everybody in town, they all have this deep, deep camaraderie of like, oh, well, as soon as I say I'm the shit, this guy over here is going to come steal my crap. You know, and everybody knows that, you know, so it's the camaraderie is amazing. You know, I've met some people that kind of have that vibe, and it usually just, it's just not a good vibe to have. You know, it shouldn't be a competition thing ever. It should be a community thing because we're all on the same game, you know, we're all doing the same shit.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes a place like Tulsa so unique, like, truthfully. Like that would be the one place, because I don't like to talk shit on Nashville because this is podcast is from a company based in Nashville. I love Nashville. But there is a clear difference between a place like that and Tulsa.
I mean, that's like, you go the same to way, though, man, as far as, like, you know, as soon as you think you're good, somebody's going to come along that's way better, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like that everywhere, but Tulsa has... it's just the best, man, I would say. I would put it up against any music scene.
Oh, absolutely. Do you ever collab or do co-writes? Like what's your deal with that?
Yeah, man, I've been trying to do more co-writes. And, you know, we've done a collaboration with King Cabbage Brass Band.
Okay.
My buddy Greg Fallis, who I mentioned earlier. I used his ID to get in the bar. They're doing great right now. We've done some collaborations with them. They're actually, at the moment, they are Zach Bryan's horn section.
No shit.
Which is fucking cool. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's like everybody in town, we're all hanging out. My homies are fucking playing stadium shows. And then they come back and we play some shitty bar gig and get drunk and fucking hang, you know? And that's the vibe in Tulsa, I would say.
That's awesome. You mentioned that. And I remember just seeing a video of Zach Bryan covering Lawyers, Guns, and Money. And it was like at one of his live shows recently in the horn section. I'm assuming that was his.
Yeah.
And they were like the reason that it came out so well. Like, it was so fucking nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fucking cool as shit, man.
That's awesome. Well, we mentioned Nashville. Have you gotten out to there much, or have you co-wrote or done anything out there?
I haven't done any co-writes out there. I would love to, though. You know, we're actually going there in 2 days and we'll be there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We've got a show at the Cannery Hall or something. But yeah, I love Nashville. I love going, and you know, it's all about networking, man. And that's how you meet people that you can play with, you know,
for
Nashville's
sure.
Nashville's definitely the place where they all are.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I wanted to talk about the live AF sessions because those things never miss. I love whenever any artist plays on that shit. And I just want to know how that came to be. Like, how was your experience with it? Give me the whole spiel.
Man, it was fucking great. Yeah, all those guys are cool as shit. Cool as shit. My friend Kaylin Fay, who's another musician here in Tulsa, I think that she recommended me for it, and they just hit me up and were like, hey, want to do one? And we did it in this warehouse in Tulsa. It was hot as fuck. It was in like July. We were all just dripping sweat. Somebody brought a bottle of whiskey for some reason, and we're just drinking the whiskey and sweating, and oh my god, it was gnarly. But yeah, it was super fun, man, and you know, grateful to be connected with those guys for sure.
That's awesome, dude. So I guess let's talk about, you mentioned you were recording an EP, I believe. So let's talk about what we can expect from your new music, what you got coming up.
Man, you know, I would say that I personally think that it's the best EP that we've recorded yet. You know,
hell yeah.
I'm a little biased, but yeah, I think it's fucking awesome. It's 6 or 7 songs. Yeah. What do you want to know about it? Like,
well, I don't know, like, content wise, like, what we can expect, like any themes, stories behind it, anything, like, what can we look forward to?
Really, man, like, you know, my whole thing, I've just been trying to write as many songs as I can, you know, and I just pick the best ones and put them on the EP, I would say that it's a variety between, like, there's some faster train beat bluegrass songs on there, and there's also some kind of funky stuff. So we're kind of going in the same vein that we have been, but, you know, yep, just with different songs, and it'll be cool, man.
Yeah, awesome. Can't wait, man. And you say you're trying to put out as many songs as you can. That got me thinking about how the music industry is today, and it's singles driven, all that. And that's, I don't know if it's a relatively new thing. It's a relatively new thing, I guess, like in the past 10 years, maybe. I don't know. But how's that as an artist keeping up with like releases, and we got to put a song out on this date, and that kind of thing? It seems stressful as fuck.
Yeah, it's a bitch, but. You know, I mean, I don't know. We're in a unique position. We do play a lot as a band, you know, and our keyboard player, Andrew Bear, is one of the best producers I've ever met in my life. Nice. And so he's been helping out with the album. And yeah, we just kind of go in there and fucking bust it out, you know? We've never had a rehearsal, so I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I mean?
It's working. It's working.
Yeah, yeah, man. Sure. Well, thank you. But we're, we just go in there and try and make it sound as good as possible.
Hell yeah, bro. And I love asking this question because kind of going off the whole current day music industry, the TikTok social media stuff is, you know, somewhat required nowadays. I feel like, I don't know, have you been able to navigate that very well? Because artists are always different. They either love it, hate it, in the middle. Like, what's your whole view on that?
Yeah, man, I mean, it took me like 10 minutes to get this thing going, so computers too.
Well, I didn't tell you needed Chrome. That's on me. That,
no,
part's,
man,
on,
I'm
me,
more of like a play the guitar and smoke weed and fucking, yep, make jokes and, you know, I don't know, hang out with my dogs, my girl, you know, shit like that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Love it, man. So, I guess, dude, thanks for hopping on. This is a lot of fun to finally be able to talk to you. But, before we go, shows, like, what do we got to look forward to with shows coming up?
Man, we are about to go on tour, you know?
Mm.
Ah, shit, man. Let me just fucking look, dude. So I can.
Okay. I never give the heads up that I'm going to ask that question. I always have to get their dates out.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, you know, I've been booking all the gigs for, you know, about 2 years, and I pride myself on booking the fuck out of some gigs, you know.
Yep.
I love nothing more than telling someone that it's not enough money, you know what I mean? But we just got a booking agent recently, and so he's been fucking doing great, way better than I ever could. And yeah, so that's why I have to look at the dates now. I'm like, where the fuck are we playing at? this weekend we're gonna go to Memphis, and then Nashville, Chattanooga, Lafayette, Chicago, Indianapolis. We're ending up in West Virginia, you know. But a run that I'm really stoked on is we're going to the UK to play at the Great British Blues Festival.
Wow.
And then we're flying into New Jersey to go to a 3-week run in the Northeast, and we'll be hitting New York City and all those places, you know? So that's the favorite thing about shows and touring for me, man, is just going to new places and, you know, experiencing shit.
Yeah. Getting the music out there for sure, man. That's awesome. And, real quick, as I know, we're talking about shows, how would you describe your live show? Like as the person on stage, how would you describe it? Like to someone who hasn't seen,
we're putting the try back in country, you know? But I don't know, kind of like a demolition derby or
hell yeah.
No, it's fun, you know. We just kind of do whatever the fuck we want, you know. And we're trying to continue to do that as long as we can, you know.
Hell yeah.
But
yeah
I would say the shows are very high energy and a lot of variety, you know.
Hell yeah. And everyone, including me, go out and see a show. Johnny, thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
Dude,
and yeah, absolutely. And if you have any plugs, like social media, I know we just talked about how much that sucks, but if you have any plugs, like social media or a website that you want to throw out there, the floor is yours.
Yeah, go to johnnymullinax.com, baby. Yeah, we've got
there
an Instagram,
go.
The whole thing. All of them.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And also make sure to check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Yeah. Google us, will show up. We're on pretty much everything. So, Johnny, thank you very much for hopping on. This was a blast. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hell yeah. Thank you, man.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight. Try to make a mess of